in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of work by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This passage reminds us of what is necessary in order to prepare ourselves for coming to this Lord's table. It is necessary, first of all, to recognize our natural state, that we are dead in sins and trespasses. Not sick, not ailing, but dead. That there is within us no spiritual life. And furthermore, that in this condition, we are the objects of God's wrath. His anger, which condemns those who are his enemies to hell itself. That's us. Paul emphasizes that to the church at Ephesus. It's not those out there. It's not somebody else over here, but it is us. We are the ones who are objects of wrath. But because of God's great love and his mercy, he made us alive together in Christ. We're dead. We are now alive in Christ. Not because we are worthy of it, not because of any good thing in us, but merely because of his love toward us and his grace, which he has showered upon us in Jesus Christ. We are united to Christ, and we therefore have the benefits of Christ, which are being celebrated here, that is, his death for our sins and his resurrection unto newness of life. And he has raised us up, he says, and we sit with him in heavenly places. That's where we are now, in Christ. A wonderful position that we hold because of God's love and because of God's mercy. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not even of yourself. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship. And why? In order that we might bring forth good works that are unto his praise and glory. I therefore urge you to look at yourselves this morning. Do you recognize the depth of your sin and the consequences that are due you? Do you also acknowledge that you are God's in Jesus Christ, that you belong to him, that you are his children, his sons and daughters? All because of his love, all because of his work in Jesus Christ. And do you then resolve to live a life of gratitude unto his service? If indeed you do, then I welcome you to this communion table this morning. However, it is also my duty, my solemn duty, to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners, and without hope of eternal life apart from the grace of God in Christ, confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ, base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness, and humbly resolve to deny ourselves, crucify our old nature, and follow Christ in the way of faith and obedience. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we might partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Shall we pray? Lord, as we look at our lives this day, our consciences indeed condemn us, but you are greater than our conscience, and you know all things. And we learn also from the Scriptures that you, through the blood of Christ, cleanse our consciences and renew us in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, even though we feel the twinges of our conscience, and even though we understand and realize the full depth of our sin and its guilt and its condemnation, yet this day we have come to look at Jesus Christ. We have come to claim that He alone is our Savior. We have come to confess together that He is our righteousness, and without Him we have nothing. Therefore, we ask this day that you will indeed accept us at your table, and that we might celebrate properly in praise of you and in strengthening of our own spiritual life. Receive us, Lord, into your presence, and prepare us for eating together. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think about God? Do you think of His love? Do you take time out and really consider how great and magnificent that love is? I mean, your whole life depends on that love. Your very existence, as well as your salvation. We don't deserve to be in God's presence. We don't deserve all of the good things that we have in this world. We should be rotting in hell. Everything should turn bad for us. Everything should be miserable. We should have sick, ailing, miserable bodies, decaying and rotting. That's what we should have. God is merciful. We don't get what we deserve. He deals with us not out of His wrath. He deals with us out of His love. Do you think about that? Does it enter your consciousness? Do you meditate upon that? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh. You know, there are times when we kind of feel rotten and feel miserable and feel our life isn't going very well and things aren't doing very well. Well, good friends, what God requires of you, what He really wants, is you to think about His love and to praise Him every day when you arise for that love. To think about it as you go through the day and praise Him again at night for that love. That's what He wants. That's what He really wants. Because it's in that love and out of that love that He washes away our iniquity. He cleanses it. This is why David could continue to be king, because God completely cleansed him from everything that he had done wrong. So it's like he started all over again. And after confessing, he says, his sin, he says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Hyssop? Why hyssop? Well, hyssop was a plant, a rather tall, stocky plant. And if you look back in Leviticus chapter 19, you find that in a cleansing of a person who was unclean, they would take the ashes of a heifer and mix it with water and shake it up, and they'd take some hyssop and they'd stick it in the jar, and then they would sprinkle this on people who are unclean. You see. In other words, cleanse me, descend me. Remove away all of my transgressions. And then he says, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. If God does the job, boy, he does it right. You think your Maytag works pretty well? Well, your Maytag doesn't work well at all compared to God. You know, there are always a few spots on those nice white blouses, right? Not with God. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. You see, God dealt with him with his sin. He said, my bones are crushed. He had all kinds of physical ailments because he couldn't stand the sin that was inside. It was bothering him and affected him. Some people can't sleep. Other people get ulcers. Not everybody who gets ulcers is related to sin, mind you. Let's make that clear. But you get all kinds of physical ailments that come. And he says, oh, let these old bones rejoice because the problem is removed. The sin is covered. Created me a pure heart in place of a broken heart, you get a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit in me in place of a crushed and broken spirit. Then give me, Lord, a spirit that's obedient to you. Amazing, isn't it? Don't cast me away. Don't take your Holy Spirit. Give me the joy of your salvation. This is what he's asking for. And then he says, when you do that, Lord, then I'm going to go out and tell everybody. I'm going to teach sinners about your ways. Well, I'm coming to the table. Have you really repented? I mean, not just superficially like Saul and Judas, but I mean down deep. Have you dealt with the real thing? And you know, fully dealing with the real thing means that you don't stay away from there. It means you repent and turn to God. And you say, yes, Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is the only way that my sin can be cleansed. And I am going to rely upon the work of your Spirit to have a different heart and a different spirit. And I'm going to live for you. And I'm going to come here. And I'm going to say, yeah, God loves me. And I'm going to praise that love. And I'm going to live out of that love. I'm not going to be nasty and miserable and hard to live with. Why? How can you be if you bask in the love of God? You come and you eat and you get resurgence of life and you live in praise of that love. Therefore, congregation, I urge you to come. Come to this table this morning. And as we come, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, shall we, and chapter 11, and prepare our hearts for coming to this table as we remember this institution that was given to us by Christ through the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it was to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself and his death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice on the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with Him and with each other as members of His mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for His salvation. So then, congregation, let us come to the table together. As we come, we'll sing number 485 in the hymnal, stanzas 1 and 2.